B-Pod Studios.
Damn, 5 o'clock hour. Yeah. Rod Dworsky is going to join us at 5:10 for his assessment of that Big Eagle victory yesterday. Again, we take victories for granted. We just we move on. You know, we don't examine in great detail when we get a victory. It's the losses that we tear apart. The victory is like, you know, we're in route to the Super Bowl. Just a little step towards the Super Bowl.
See, I don't like that.
What? It's confidence.
I'm okay
with
confidence.
I like that in fan base.
But we also, you can't lose your mind off of one loss either. And we still do that.
Well, if you would have lost to Washington, you could lose your mind.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, though, let's say they get off to a nice start. They lose on the road on a short week to Green Bay.
Uh-huh.
People will call that Friday still wanting to fire people and stuff like that.
No. They would understand that loss. When people are looking at this, they're picking a couple losses. And they're not saying they're going 16-0.
Not most people aren't.
Mm. So, at 5 o'clock hours, brought to the website, guided door and window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down. Up to 3 years to pay it off, interest free. Call guided door and window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. See this news from Alaska, Nat?
No, what? Alaska.
Fresh out of Alaska, Todd Palin has filed for divorce.
Oh, you don't say.
From Sarah Palin.
Wow.
Citing, you ready for this? This is grounds for divorce in Alaska. Incompatibility of temperament.
That's
kinda
interesting.
Says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think that's about? You think?
Who do you think's the one
I think Todd found another Alaska honey.
Maybe.
Yeah, because remember,
towns up there.
They've had a lot of family drama
to the point where
the son. They tried to blame the military, went and beat up Todd.
Yeah, he broke into the house and
went upside Todd's head.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and then the daughters after the accident.
For extra credit, the daughter who got preggies was named what? What was her name?
Bristol.
Bristol.
There you go.
Yeah. Bristol, can't forget her.
Bristol. She was on Teen Mom for a while, wasn't she?
I don't know.
She had her own show. Was it her own show? Wasn't Teen Mom?
And she did Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, that's right. Dancing with the Stars.
But,
All right, for extra credit, what are the names of all the kids?
Yeah.
They all have unusual.
They were, the one was like Track.
Track.
Right?
T-R-A-C-K.
Yeah,
what's
and
the
then
other
I forget.
Daughter's name,
that is
though.
Correct.
There was another
girl.
One.
Is
I can't
another
remember.
Another girl in there?
Yeah, because I actually watched, they had a reality show.
Oh, I knew. Yeah, all right, go ahead.
I don't remember the other daughter's name.
Track Trig.
Uh-huh.
Track, yeah.
Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
Willow.
Oh.
And Piper.
Well, the one was all...
Interesting names.
Not listening to Sarah. So get off the phone. And then she would, like, look up to the mom upstairs and then just walk 5 feet over and just was ignoring the mom completely.
A lot of Alaska bachelors are lining up right now as we speak. Trying to get in or divorcees.
To get on with Sarah?
To get on Sarah. I'm trying to think, if you're the right age.
Sure.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, but she's
pretty,
50s, right?
Yeah.
No, looks aren't the issue.
No, I know. Well, I'm saying she's an attractive, like, older woman.
She is.
Earplugs for the entire match.
That's the tough part. Like, come on, Sarah. We got to talk.
Can't hear you, huh? Kim in Jersey. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kim.
Long time, Mike.
What's up, Kim?
Good job on the wheels over there, Jerome. But look, I can't take this jersey. Let me just give this little rant, and then I want to talk about the Eagles a little bit. But you know, if Natalie and I go to a football game and all we have on is pasties and a song, what the heck do you think is going to happen?
Well, you see, now this gets into a really dangerous area because then people say, well, then you're justifying sexual assault because of the way you're dressed.
No. All they can say is, you're a hoe. When I'm going to go to the cops and say, oh, he called me a hoe. And they're going to look at me like...
Well,
Maybe
you like wearing pasties and whatever. You know, I can't listen. It's your own personal style. That should not mean anything. But in this case, it does because of various factors.
There's certain things you just don't do. We have a reputation of throwing the snowball at Santa. Never mind, he was drunk, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you know that, like I said, I think he's looking for an altercation because
Well, he's a feisty dude. I mean, he's a strange guy in a lot of ways, that Mike Scott. He's feisty. I think he was looking to tweak somebody. I really do, because he was warned. You know, people tweeted at him saying, oh, Mike, that's not a good idea. And he did it anyway because he wanted to get a reaction out of people, I think.
Look, there's going to be fans in every stadium committing drunken stupor acts.
Exactly.
So be prepared.
And they get there early, Kim. What do you think is going on for hours?
I'm not arguing with someone drunk, but let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Jordan Howard get the rock. I saw movement. I saw him go 5 yards where I didn't even see any lanes open.
Mm-hmm.
To me, he's more powerful than your Sproles, and Sanders just looks so small, and it just looks like they're trying to finesse around the field.
I actually think they used the running backs fine yesterday. They saw they had a hot hand in Sproles. He was running well. They milked him. They probably gave him too many touches. It'll all even out.
Look at the average.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. I don't know if they're in love with Jordan Howard. And that maybe is why he didn't get the rock early. But when they needed a pounder, he was there for them.
Well, anyway, shout out to the cow fleas who called me at halftime to make sure I was okay. I was not sweating it, okay?
All right.
I told them this game was an equivalent to our 4 preseason games each quarter, mm-hmm. and we developed right to the end.
There you go.
Go Eagles.
All right. Thanks, Kim. Good to hear from Kim. We haven't heard from her. I like Kim's laugh. She got a great laugh, doesn't she?
She's great.
All right. We touch base with him every Monday because we like to get his view of the whole thing, especially quarterback play. And the guy who didn't play all preseason, who hadn't played in a really long time, equipped himself quite well in the second half. Let's bring in Ron Jaworski on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right, Ron, it was the win, and the quarterback threw a couple of bombs, and he straightened down the second half. What did you see?
Well, pretty much it was obvious that Carson Wentz had a rock-solid game. I was very impressed with what I would consider his growth. You don't know, what you would expect to see coming out of a preseason where he did not take a snap. I am dead against that, by the way, and I've made it crystal clear. I think guys need to play some in the preseason. You can never replicate the speed of a game, and I think it helps a quarterback to have been in a game. Well, Carson certainly dispelled that. And when I say I like his growth, what I really saw when I went to the tape, Mike, was his ability to manipulate the secondary. And it's just something, we talk about a lot, looking people off, eye fakes, pump fakes, all those things to move people out of position. He did that. And did it very well, particularly on 2 touchdown passes to DeSean Jackson. First of all, great design by Mike Groh. They probed that defense early in the game with some formation variation. He found that 3-by-1 set, 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, DeSean in the slot. And he waited for the opportune time to call those plays, and they got the coverage that they hoped they would get. So you got to give Mike Groh some really good props on that for designing some plays to attack that Redskins defense. But both of them, if you look, and I look at it from the end zone angle on my coaching tape, his head is to the left. And that's what I call manipulating people, forcing them to move, going away from where you want to throw the football, and creating space. I thought Carson was phenomenal in that regard.
Yeah, and I know the player you're talking about in particular, where he knew he had him. He looked at him first, and then he looked off him because he knew he had him. And then he conned the defense and looking the other way, and then he came right back with the throw because he knew it was there. You're right. I saw some growth in him with that as well.
No question. He probably could have thrown one touchdown pass to Nelson Aguilar. Again, the design of the place was a deep crosser by Aguilar, and really they got on the safety really quick, so he had an either or. The safety had to choose one way to go, and he got caught in no man's land. So when I look at it on the tape, Aguilar's probably upset because he could have had a touchdown pass.
What did you make of the offensive play calling and the offensive efficiency in the first half? What was the reason why they had such a hard time getting started.
Nothing went right in that first half. I mean, it was sleepy. I was like, wow, what did? I mean, the crowd was all lathered up, man. I was down on the field pregame, you know, the national anthem, all the things going on, and then defense comes out there and, you know, basically was sleeping and allowing Case Keenum to go right down the field. The offense comes out, you know, they really didn't show much except for the one play to Sean in the first half. But here's what I gleaned from the tape, Mike, and this is where I think this team is going to be really, really good. They really changed up the offense throughout the game. The different style of running game that they had, you know, was kind of augmented to each back. You know, each guy had a different set of plays, and this offensive line, and I'll say it again, I've told you this maybe for the last couple years, is the best offensive line in football. And they just wore down the Redskins' defense. I know some guys got nicked for the Redskins in the second half, but they were worn out. And pretty much Eagles could do what they want to do in that second half. So this is a physical offensive line that can come off the ball with a Jordan Howard power running game. And you know, you see a Miles Sanders slashing style of runner. And yet they can, you know, use those read option plays, the zone reads and RPOs and all those fancy things with Darren Sproles. So from a defensive perspective, man, you don't know what to expect.
20 touches for Darren Sproles. Were you surprised by that? Does that have to decline a little bit?
I was very surprised by the number of touches, but it's obvious he still had some giddy up in those legs. Here's a guy that, I think back to San Diego Charger days, you know, not only New Orleans, but, and coming back from, you know, the numerous injuries that he's had and, you know, leg injuries to running backs, they normally don't overcome. So, man, you got to give some props to Sproles. He's a special player. And, you know, I've said it for years. He's kind of that satellite type back. You know, you got to give him some space. And when he gets some space, he makes people miss, and what an addition to the punt return game. I mean, he was fearless. He goes north and south, and he always gives you a positive play.
Don't wear him out.
Don't wear him out, Ron.
That's the only thing I thought it was a lot of carries that he had in that game. But
yeah, I'm not going to argue with you on that for a guy that, you know, has been out quite a while and banged up like he has been. But I watch these backs though too, Mike. I think the guy with the big upside is going to be Miles Sanders. I mean, you can just see his quickness. And once he had a couple mistakes in his pass protection where he gets caught peeking inside and, you know, free a defender comes from the outside. And I thought there were some of those things that are going to keep him from getting more plays in the game. But you can see his clear athletic ability to run and catch the football. He's got to understand who to block and how to block before he gets more snaps.
Yeah, he did have one really good blitz pickup that was very noticeable.
And that's going to come. That's going to come with playing time. But he missed a couple. And it wasn't that he's not a willing blocker. You know, these exotic schemes that these NFL defensive coordinators throw at you now, man, they are designer blitzes. And, you know, they try to take advantage of young players, particularly in that backfield.
Sean obviously was great in the game. But let's look at some things that we can be critical about. The cornerbacks, what were your thoughts and what did it look like on tape?
Yeah, I probably some missed tackles more than anything else, but that group has to play better. I mean, you know, you give up 380 yards to Case Keenum, and the receivers that they're running out there, a bunch of guys named Joe, although they played very well, but this wasn't a polished group of receivers, and without Jordan Reed to put up 380 yards, it's a little bit of a head scratcher to me that the secondary did not perform. But I thought the biggest part of it was, particularly in that first half, there was no pressure on him. Their offensive line did an outstanding job of giving Case Keenum, you know, a cushion to throw from. He was able to move around and make some plays. And when you look at his defensive line, and I will put it up there as one of the best in the NFL, but they didn't show it in that first half yesterday. They got going in the second half, and, you know, the pressure from the defensive line has got to help this secondary. It's not a lockdown, one-on-one type secondary. It's just not the way that they play, the way they like to play, and the way this defense is built. So it's built on getting pressure on the quarterback.
I'm going to ask you if you have a solution now. Malik Jackson is going to be out for a while. Do they have enough to overcome that? Or we talked a bit earlier about maybe Chris Long making a phone call and doing what they did last year when he played and they moved Brandon Graham inside on some plays. What do you favor here?
Last time I saw Chris Long, it looked like he could play safety now. He looked like he lost
a lot of weight. Oh, really? He lost a lot of weight.
Which a lot of these guys do when they don't have to have that girth to play in the NFL. They immediately, you know, try to get some normal weight. But that is a huge loss. In fact, I've said to Mike that I thought the Malik Jackson quietly would be one of the best acquisitions the Eagles made in the offseason. Now, obviously, DeSean Jackson was number one. But from a defensive perspective, you know, he did not play well in Jacksonville. But, man, that guy was a Super Bowl MVP. When the Broncos won the Super Bowl a few years ago, he was absolutely phenomenal. So I thought he would come to Philly and you know, with the rest of the guys that he was on that defensive line with, he would get a lot of single blocks and he would tear it up. So I think it is a significant loss. I don't know the length or extent of the injury, but you know, it may be something they have to think about, bringing another big body in there and a guy that's a penetrator.
All right, I got to ask you about this Antonio Brown drama, which played out over the weekend. We haven't talked about it much today. I want to get your opinion on, was this an orchestrated move to get the Patriots, to get Antonio Brown with the Patriots? What are your thoughts on how this played out?
I chuckle because I kind of dealt with it firsthand. I was out in Oakland earlier this year during training camp, you know, when he was having the foot problems and all the other things that were going on. And you know, being there for 3 days and seeing the distraction that this guy caused, Mike, it's hard to run a football team. You know, I have, you know, utmost respect for these coaches, successful ones, unsuccessful ones, for leadership in the front office. You know, I've been around this game since, you know, 1973. I know how hard it is to win. And when you get players that aren't committed to the team concept and the culture of team, it's hard to be successful. And everywhere you went, you know, Hard Knocks is out there, cameras are there, mics are there. I'm trying to talk to Mike Mayock, and you know, it's a boom, one of those audio things above my head. So you just can't say anything. So it puts everyone on you know, walking on eggshells. And then you got this guy, nothing but a distraction. You know, it was really bizarre. And I know, I'm telling you, I'll tell you this, and I mean it sincerely, Mike. Gruden loves his talent, and the guy is incredibly talented. John tried to facilitate this guy into his offense and get him ready. You know, I don't know if the guy wanted to be there, didn't want to be there, but when you have that kind of distraction, you got to move on.
Yeah, he obviously didn't want to be here, but then he's at the ultimate rehab center. I don't know how they do it, but I'm curious to know how you think this plays out. They've got two guys now that they're counting on at the same time to rehab.
This will be the ultimate test for Bill Belichick. There is no doubt in my mind. This one will test him. This guy's I don't think he's posted anything yet today, has he, Mike? I haven't been yet.
No, but I'm curious about, like, he always seems to do it, but, like, he could be up. This might be the ultimate. You're right. This is the ultimate thing. Yeah. What do you think happens here? Does he conform because of this team thing, which you already said he had no part, he didn't want any part of, or does this blow apart for the Patriots?
My gut feeling is he will not conform. You know, he was in a great situation in Pittsburgh. You know, Mike Tomlin, this guy's a heck of a head coach, disciplined coach. Ben Roethlisberger, you know, I'm great quarterback. He had everything there. And he, you know, then the last season all started falling apart. He couldn't conform there. So, you know, when you can't conform to a bunch of guys that you've played with for a number of years that you have respect for and they respect you, I will be surprised if this plays out well for Antonio Brown and the Patriots. I'm telling you, and save this audio. I don't think it's going to work. He'll probably get 20 touchdowns this year.
You would bet the no on this one.
For the what?
You'd bet the no that it's not going to happen.
I would bet no on this.
But just imagine if it does. I mean, my God, with these receivers they have right now.
That team, I mean, you know, we talk about these power rankings. I mean, you watch that game last night. That's a pretty good Steeler team now. That's not that's not the Miami Dolphins that they whipped up on. They get them this week. I don't know what the pass. Yeah. I think the passing record is 551 yards by Norm Van Brocklin. You know, you play that defense from Miami Dolphins, it's a threat to have a new NFL record every single week. So, but that team looked loaded last night, the Patriots did.
All right, we shall see what happens. Charles, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you.
All right, Mike. Thanks, my friend.
Ron Jaworski checking in on a Monday. A little Eagle analysis. This is like if he, like, how does he do it? How does Belichick do it? How does that system just absorb trouble players and turn them into productive players.
There's like, I feel like there's like some sort of respect level there. And like they respect the like the Patriots way.
I think it's that, but right? I also think that they're not afraid to jettison quickly when someone doesn't buy in.
Yeah,
it kind of doesn't matter who it is. That's what I think it is. Other teams would deal with if they draft a first round pick and that first round pick doesn't fall in line. They'll think because he's our pick, we have to compromise the culture. Uh-huh. They have actually missed on the draft a lot. But what they do is they get rid of that guy quickly and then get somebody else in there who does buy in.
Because they know everybody wants to play there because they have their realistic contenders every single year. And so you're gonna be on your best behavior to stay and potentially win a Super Bowl maybe this year, maybe next year.
I don't think it's that though.
I think that has something to do with it.
I mean, they're not the only. The Steelers have always been good. The Steelers have literally hardly ever been bad. They're different. There's something more to it than just they're always good.
What happens when Antonio challenges God, the quarterback?
Oh, then they get rid of Antonio. And they won't hesitate. That's what's different about them. Who was the guy who had the alcohol problem they brought in? Ocho Cinco didn't work out. They said, you're freelancing too much.
Corey Dillon?
The receiver. He was a young guy. Yeah, from Arizona. He had the alcohol problem. And then they got rid of him quickly. It didn't work. They didn't dress him. And then they got rid of him. Recently. He was a guy who had over 1,000 yards in him. Yeah, they don't. Their mistakes don't fester because they quickly get rid of guys. Mm-hmm. You either buy in or you're instantly gone.
All right. We're coming down the home stretch with more of your calls. Sound off's coming your way. Plenty of show left. Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Mussinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
Time for the final Twitter poll numbers brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Attention all landscapers. If you're looking to repower a zero-turn or a walk-behind mower, it's a lot cheaper than getting a new one. Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike.
There we go.
Over 1,800 votes on today's poll. Are you satisfied with the win yesterday? 79% say yes, a win is a win. 21% say no, I have concerns.
All righty then. You know, there was one play that Carson made yesterday where he was rolling, it was left out of the pocket. And he threw kind of like, he didn't throw a spiral, he kind of threw a flutter ball, but Goddard made the catch. And that play I'm talking about, he was moving to his left, and he flipped it back, it kind of was like a wobbler. But that was a good play. You know, it was an instinctive play.
Right.
That we're used to seeing him make. His first year, he made those kind of plays all the time.
Yeah, and so was the touchdown to Alshon. Moving to the right like that and leading him there. But he was safer.
Yes.
He was a lot safer. You could tell it was on his mind. He was spinning it out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And early, he was taking maybe too many checkdowns. But it's better early to take too many than too little. Let him just get comfortable. So that was good. That was different.
Totally agree. So you back in yet on the Phillies?
No.
You got some time to think about it?
No, I'm not back in yet.
Only two in a row? They got Nola pitching tonight?
Two in a row. Had they swept them.
Your boy Mike Kell in the lineup tonight?
I'll be honest with you. I was hanging out with Natalie on Friday. The game was on.
Mm-hmm.
It was a group of us out.
Mm-hmm.
Had they won Friday and they swept them, I probably would have been back. But two or three is not enough after splitting with the Reds.
Friday was a bad loss.
Friday's loss stung me. So Saturday and Sunday, it takes more.
You know, that game, I'm glad you brought that game up. See, I would not have Hector Neris back anymore. And it was the reason why, because I learned a lot about that dude on Friday. That was where he delayed coming in the game. You remember, they called for him, and finally the umpire had to go out and wave him in.
Oh, yeah.
He did not want to come into that game. He was lollygagging in the bullpen trying to warm up. It was a safe situation. He clearly did not want to come in that game. They had to pull him out of the bullpen to come that game. That told me a lot about a dude.
That's fair.
All right, let's go to Walt in Mount Airy. Walt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Walt.
Hey, what's going on with you, Mike?
What's going on, Walt?
I wanted to touch on AB and Mike Scott.
Mm-hmm.
You look at AB, and that man only acts crazy when he wants to get out of the team. But as soon as he signs the check, he shows up, normal hair color, looking clean, cutting everything, talking normal. But Mike Scott's been asking for it since he was actually on the station and said he was a Washington fan. And they warned him then. It was like, well, you can't do that because now you play for the Sixers. And he was like, oh, man, I'm a Washington fan. So diehard Washington. So,
yeah, it's just, I mean, it's like, just foolish on his part. It just is.
As a professional player, I got no pity for him because you got to have some type of accountability to think about your livelihood. You think, as a diehard fan of Washington you are, how many diehard Washington Eagles fans is in this city and going to feel offended that you showing up to their tailgate and, you know, even to heckle them? And then somebody's going to want to, you know, start something with Mike Scott because he's Mike
Scott. Exactly. There is no payoff to it.
And then here's the worst thing about it. If he, you know, he knocked out, you know, he swatted that one guy, but say he knocks out, like, all three of those guys.
Lawsuit.
Then he's getting sued. Mm-hmm. He losing his job. And then it's like, what, you're going to take the hometown mm-hmm. discount to go play with the Wizards?
He's probably going to get sued now. He hit somebody. He's probably going to get sued now.
Hey, it is stupid. It was stupid. The stupid decision. He could have just went straight to the stadium, wore his jersey, been up there repping, had security around other Eagles mm-hmm. fans around them in a controlled environment.
He obviously wanted to tweak Eagle fans.
Yeah, man.
He did, and you tweak the wrong fans, you're going to get stung. And it doesn't make the fan right. Don't get me wrong. It does not make the fan right. But they don't know any better.
But you go poking the bear, that's what's going to happen.
Exactly, because the bear don't know any better. Let's go Eric and Trenton. Eric, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Eric.
Yeah, I agree with the last caller. I mean, the only thing that could happen is something bad with him wearing a Redskins jersey. And, I mean, if somebody says something to you, you just ignore them and walk away. And you don't, you know, start poking back saying, oh, the Redskins are this and the Redskins are that. And that's what happens. You know, because, I mean, let's face it, there's a bunch of hooligans down there.
Exactly.
I mean,
see, people want me to change the hooligans. I don't have that kind of power. I try. Whatever I use this for them to, I always call out bad fan behavior. I do it all the time. But there comes a reality where you're just not going to reform everybody.
But you want to go over to Manchester United and wear, like, an Ireland jersey or a Scottish jersey, you know,
it's
the same thing. And then what Joel said about the defensive line not putting up pressure on the offensive line, on Friday, the guy from the post said the offensive line was the weakest part of the team, and we were hurting to put pressure on them.
Yeah, well, you're right. So, yeah, the ends really weren't that active. They allowed them to get blocked. They, you know, they didn't even have their best offensive lineman. Barnett didn't get to the quarterback. That's got to change. Yeah, they got to get pressure.
Most definitely.
They played a bad team yesterday. They didn't get pressure. Now, they got to get pressure against Matt Ryan because one thing he's going to do is throw about 50 times.
Right.
All right, man. You got it, Eric. Let's go to Vicente. Hello, Vicente.
Hola, amigo Mikey.
What's going on,
I'm
Vicente?
I'm bringing the Ecuadorian Southern Charm and the Notorious 5 O'Clock. All right. You know?
Yes, I got you, buddy.
I'm on my way to Harrisburg, but I stopped here in the rest stop just to tell you a little bit of a thing. Last Friday, I give kudos to Tyrone Johnson, who got the gig about the number. My dad turned 85.
Yes.
But anyway, today, I wanted to talk about the Sean Jackson.
Uh-huh.
That guy put a lot of effort into that number 10 jersey.
He did.
And he got an agreement with Matt Collins, and he got the number back. That was successful. You know why? Because yesterday, how many catches did Deshaun did?
He had a lot more than I thought he would get.
No, he had eight catches.
He had eight catches.
Plus two touchdowns. 8 + 2 = 10. That's his jersey number.
Well, look at that. You're playing numerology on me.
Right. Now, hear me out.
Yeah.
8 × 2 = 16. × 10 = 160. minus the 6 years that he was absent after Coach Kelly, you know, got rid of him. So 160 minus 6 is 154 yards that he converted last yesterday.
You're a very strange man, Vicente.
That's the pure math. Work out the numbers, numerology.
Yeah. I you have me speechless.
Oh my god!
All right, buddy.
All right. I talk to you Wednesday.
All right, there you go. Sent a little numerology, and that comes to a conclusion of the phone calls for today. So, in 5 minutes' time, or maybe a little less, sound off is coming your way. We'll hear if Eagle fans are actually excited about the Eagles' victory. Mike Mussinelli show continues 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Mussinelli Show. .97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me? What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down. Number 5 will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Keep going. Sound off.
All right, time for sound off, 607-719-7705. What are the chances that the Mike Scott calls outnumber the Eagles calls, Tyrone? What do you got? What are the odds on that?
I don't know.
-150.
Oh, let's see.
All right, let's see what we got.
I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy after a great win where we turn things around, but Deuce Stanley, this running back by committee, it's got to go. Jordan Howard is a big pickup. He's a proven player. He sat on the sidelines most of the game, and he was giving us some of the best runs early on. Can we let any one running back get a rhythm ever?
Bro, listen, you might have had a good point, but you can't call him Deuce Stanley. Come on, man. And the guy was a player.
That's a violation.
And he's been a coach for, come on, Deuce Stanley? It's 2019. You still calling him Deuce Stanley? Come on.
Eagles down early. Go for it on fourth down. They don't get it. Start of the second half, down 13, fourth and one, their own 30, and Doug doesn't even think about it. I love this man. Go Birds!
Yeah, if it was a yard and a half and he went for it, you may have felt different. It was like 16 inches.
Mike, concerning the Redskins jerseys, how many times did I see Allen Iverson wearing a New York Yankees or Boston Red Sox hat when he was at press conferences and playing for the Sixers?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah, different. Totally different. And you guys create your own narrative to fit the thing, right? This is an active game, okay, that Mike Scott is wearing a jersey because he wants to poke Eagle fans. Now, again, in a perfect world, you would like to think that people would act intelligently. In reality, they don't. So it's not Allen Iverson wearing a hat because it's a style thing. It's wearing a jersey specifically to tweak the other fan base.
I'm not trying to be from Philadelphia. I'm glad we got the win. But we need corner help. We need to go after Jalen Ramsey. Jacksonville ain't going to pay him. Let's go get him, Howie.
Second Jalen Ramsey call today. Yeah, sure, I'd like that. I don't think it's going to happen.
And he will not sign with you unless you make him the highest paid corner in football. And you're paying a quarterback a lot of money and Fletcher Cox a lot of money.
Yeah.
You got enough money to pay, make him the highest paid corner in football?
Not realistic.
I completely agree with you on the Mike Scott thing. Mike Scott is a grown man who plays in this city. He knows what this city is all about. When he was getting dressed, he knew exactly what could happen.
The feedback we're getting from people who are like anti-fans are the people that hate Eagle fans and don't want to be associated with them. And I know there's a large faction out there of people like that. They're embarrassed by the Eagle fans. I get it and I admire that. But reality is reality.
Yo, Mike, with Deshaun Jackson happy to be back in Philly or what? The Carson Wentz to Jackson connection looked like he's going to be big all season long. He had 154 yards on 8 catches, 2 touchdowns. This guy was unstoppable going deep.
Yes, he was, and I hope it continues. But I think his value in this offense, opening up this entire offense, is going to manifest itself to the point where they pay attention to him. So many other things will be open.
Looks like Carson is not going to be doing much rushing or running out of the pocket anymore, which is a good thing, which means he could play until he's 42 or 43 like Tom Brady, which is a really good thing.
Never even thought that far ahead, but if that happens, so be it.
I'll tell you what, I don't care that he wore the jersey. I don't think he should have, but why on earth are you going to square off with a guy 6'7", 6'9", whatever he is, and you're going to get your butt laid out as a bunch of them did and deserve to?
You think people who have had 27 beers and maybe some sour mash are going to think about guy being big? That's the whole point of beer muscles. You know, you're not afraid of anything.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it toxic.
And you want to take on the biggest person there.
Exactly. You know him, because I'll show you I'm the toughest guy here.
What do you think fuels it?
Wow, Mike. It's great. Gutsy. Come from behind win by Penn State against his mighty Buffalo Bulls Saturday night. When does Penn State start playing real teams? Like, I don't know, Michigan, Ohio State, because running up the score on the Idaho Vandals isn't going to get Penn State within a sniff of the playoff, buddy.
Yeah, you know what's great, you Penn State hater? As if all the other great teams play really tough competition in their first three games of the year, right? Everybody. People play, like, Division II FCS schools in their first. This is ridiculous. Buffalo's not a bad team. They weren't a bad team. Second of all, they're going to get to Ohio State, Michigan. They're on the schedule, brother.
There's more to this. What happened? What Mike Scott just didn't walk by with a Redskins jersey. Things were said. He's a professional. Take the high road. Why didn't he walk away? Eagle fans don't walk up and just start punching you.
No, they punch you when they're drunk and they don't have the brain power to overcome and honor civility. But that's what he should have known as a proud University of Virginia man. All right, close down.
That's the best of the best today of Soundgarden. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are the limits?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
See you later.
All right, that was sound off. Guess what's up next on the radio side? Brian Westbrook at the Fanatic Pro Show. Brian Westbrook and Devon are at the Super Buy right in Williamstown, New Jersey. Stay tuned for that. And on NBC Sports Philly, stay tuned for Quick Slants. Have a great rest of the night. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.